All right, guys, man. Amen. Listen, a couple of favors. We are continuing the series Gospel BC. And what we're doing is we're realizing the Bible was written for a purpose, right? The whole book, it's one book. It's made up of 66 books. But it's all really just one collective thought from God that he is showing his plan of redemption and how it weaves all the way through every single story. So the goal of this series is just to show you that all the Old Testament points to God's plan of redemption in Jesus Christ. And so we've been walking week by week. Sometimes we're still, like last week, we did a whole book. We did the book of Joshua. You're welcome. We're doing it again this week. We're going to cover a 300-year period, no problem, okay? I've got 30 minutes to do it, so you do that math. We're flying, okay? It's going to be awesome, but you need your Bibles. We're in the book of Judges this morning. Book of Judges. We're going to be in chapter 6. Also, we're going to ask you to take a bulletin. It matters. Studying Scripture, actually, that's what we do during this time. The sermon is not just me talking. It's us coming together to study the Word of God. And study implies that we are doing just that. So we're going to ask you to take notes. We're going to give you questions to go home and to read, to talk about with whoever came to church with you. If you're in a small group, we're going to ask you to talk about those questions again. Somebody says, Pastor, why am I talking about this so much? Ready? Because the more you talk about it and think about it, the more likely you are to be changed by it. Okay? It's how we internalize the Word of God. We think through it. We go, oh, I get it. It may take you 6 conversations to get there, but we believe you're going to get there. So take notes with us this morning. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word. And then we're going to jump in. Father, thanks for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to gather this morning as we talk about your plan of redemption. And we trace it throughout Scripture. Jesus, we want to see you. So Holy Spirit, I step back this morning, ask you to come and fill our pulpit and power and lift up and exalt Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that we might see him clearly. Yes, here in the book of Judges, that we might see Jesus, that we might be changed, and that we might understand how much we need him, and how he can use us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Well, guys, we left off with Joshua last week. I said, hey, I'm going to mention his farewell address. It got like 2 minutes at the very end of the sermon. And so when Joshua leads God's people into the promised land, which Moses couldn't do, he gets there. He leads them in all these military campaigns. They do a pretty good job of taking over the promised land. Not everything, but they do a pretty good job. But at the end of his life, he challenges the people. He says, hey, guys, I'm going to die. And so don't let this go, right? He says, I want you now to make sure that you make a choice. We're in the promised land. Don't go back to Egypt in your mind or in your hearts. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for all the foreign gods in this land we're living in. Listen, he says, you got to choose this day whom you're going to serve. He says, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. What happens then is Joshua passes away. And I would love to tell you that the people of God were like, yes, Joshua, we're going to be faithful. We're sticking with God. We're never going back. But that didn't happen. And it didn't happen for a few reasons. One is that they never actually dispossessed the people from the land like God told them to. God said, drive them all out. They didn't do it. And so the people of God were always surrounded by a very real enemy that attacked them physically and spiritually. Sound familiar? Right? Right? So the people of God always surrounded by this very real enemy that attacked them physically and spiritually. And so they go through these seasons where they fall away from God and they turn. Remember, they were supposed to drive the people out. They didn't. Well, all those people had their own little g false gods. We call them idols. And the children of God would bless them, and they'd be good for a while. They'd be like, we love you. And then they're like, we got this. And they would turn to the surrounding nations, and they would worship their idols, their gods, right? And so God would let them go. They would often be occupied, or they would be mistreated. And then finally, they would cry out to God, God, help us! And so there's about a 300-year period from the end of Joshua's life to when God institutes a king, because the people asked for it, in King Saul. In that 300-year period, leadership, what happens, it's these cycles, right? Where they return to God, they fall away, they cry out, God brings them a deliverer. That deliverer is always a leader called a judge, okay? So in that 300-year period, lots of judges. We're going to focus on one this morning. His name is Gideon. He happens about 200 years into that 300-year period, okay? All right, so the people of God, again, have turned away. They've been occupied and overrun by a group of people called the Midianites. We talked about them way back in the day. This was their homeland. They were supposed to drive them out. They didn't do it. Those Midianites now are oppressing God's people so much that they're hiding in caves, okay? They're hiding everything that they're doing. These people are coming in. They're eating all their food. They're stealing their livestock. They're doing all these crazy things. And in the midst of all that, God is going to call this guy Gideon. Now, I want to tell you, I can't get into everything in Gideon's life this morning, all right? Like, I cannot talk about the fact that he had 70 sons and many wives. 70, y'all. Dear gosh. Like, I don't know what college cost back then, but I know what it costs now. And 70, are you kidding me? You know, can't really get into that. Can't get into the fact that he made a golden ephod. Ephod is like a priestly apron, okay? It's not the breastplate. It's like a priestly apron. And it was so pretty that the people actually made that into an idol and worshipped it. Or the fact that one of his sons decided he wanted to be king, so he killed his other brothers, all of them. Like, I guess if he had 70, he killed 68 of them because the youngest was hiding, right? We don't have time to get into all this stuff from Gideon's life. It's crazy roller coaster. That is okay because the Bible is full of information and information is good. But y'all, we've been saying it every week. The purpose of Bible study is not information. It is transformation. We're meant to be changed by what we read. The only way we're changed is if we understand why it's written. It is written. It is God's story of redemption, and we need saving, okay? So let's jump into Gideon's life this morning. We're going to talk about four moments, okay? We're going to talk about his call. We're going to talk about him tearing down his father's idols. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about him fleecing God. We'll explain what that means. He throws out a fleece. He's not tricking God. And then we're going to talk about his army selection. And those four things are going to teach us two big lessons about God. And then we're going to see how that fits into God's plan of redemption. So here we are, Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came. Remember, this is about 200 years into this, these cycles of apostasy where they would fall away and come back. They're overtaken by these Midianites right now. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, and he sits under the oak that was in it's not Oprah. It's I said this earlier, like 20 minutes ago. It's in Orpah, okay? Not Oprah. And which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Okay, so he is hiding in a wine press trying to thresh wheat because he is afraid if the Midianites see it, they're going to come and take it. So he is in hiding, okay? This is important. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior. Valiant warrior, homie, is hiding. Gideon says to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our forefathers told us about? They said, hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. You might want to underline that. That's pretty important to our lesson this morning. Go in the strength that you have. I am sending you. He said to him, please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's family. But I will be with you, the Lord said to him. You will strike down Midian as if it were one man. And then he's going to ask for a sign. Okay, here's what happens after this. After this, God says, yep, I'm with you. And he says, now, here's the deal. If you're going to lead my people, you got to lead your family first. Men, you might want to write that down. It's really important. Ladies too, but especially men in the room. If you're going to lead my people, you got to lead your family first. That matters. So he says, hey, your father is an idol worshiper. You got to go tear down his idols. So he's going to do it. But we see something very early on in this guy named Gideon, right? God says, hey, valiant warrior. Well, he's actually in hiding. Okay, I don't know how valiant that is. And then he says, hey, I'm going to use you. And he says, wait a second, hold on. My family is the weakest family in our tribe, and I'm the baby, right? So he's making an excuse. So God says, go tear down your father's idols. He's going to do it. But check this out in verse 27. It says, Gideon takes 10 of his male servants, and he does as the Lord tells him. But because he was too afraid of his father's family and the men of the city to do it in daytime, he did it at night. There's always this underlying thing with Gideon, right? He's hiding. He's like, wait, God, me? No, man. I don't think you understand. My family's the weakest, and I'm just the baby. And so God calls him to do stuff. He's like, well, I don't know, God. I guess I'll go at night. We're going to see it again when God tells him to get an army. But this is what happens. So he does it. And then he asked for another sign. He said, God, hold on, wait. If you really want me to do this, God, give me a sign. And this is it in verse 36. Gideon says to God, if you'll deliver Israel by me, as you said, I'm going to put this wool fleece here on the threshing floor. And if dew is only on the fleece and all the ground around it is dry, then I'll know that you will deliver Israel by me, as you said. And so God shows up and he does exactly that. The next morning, the fleece is soaking wet and the ground is completely dry. And you would think that Gideon's like, wow, the Lord's real. And Gideon's like, nope, God, I'm still not sure. Nope. God, me here. Are you? And y'all listen, he understands who he is. He knows he comes from the weakest family. He knows he's the baby. He knows he's in hiding. Like he's like, God, I think you've got the wrong person. Anybody ever felt that way? You hear what God calls you to do and you see, yeah, I don't know, God. I don't know if you're really talking to me. I don't know if I can really be the light of the world. I don't know that I can bring people into the kingdom. God, I don't know if you can use me. God, I'm pretty flawed. I'm pretty broken. I'm pretty weak. And God says, no, you're a valiant warrior. You're going to go for me. So listen, so here it is. So he tests him again. Verse 39, Gideon says to God, don't be angry with me, but let me speak just one more time. Please allow me to make one more test with the fleece. And this time, let it remain dry and let dew be all over the ground. And once again, God shows up and delivers. And so Gideon says, okay, God, fine, I'll go. But if I go, I'm taking one heck of an army with me. So he gathers 32,000 troops to go to battle. And God says, nope, too many. If you go with 32,000 men, Israel's going to believe that they delivered Israel. They're not going to believe it was by the Lord's hand. That's too many. You tell everyone that's afraid to leave. 22,000 men packed up that night and left. He's left with 10,000. Gideon's looking around going, I don't know, God, 10,000. Okay, here we go. And God says, nope, Gideon, that's still too many. He said, take them down to the water. And listen, all of the ones that bend over and lap the water like a dog, they're out of here. So he's at 10,000 ready. 9,700 men bend over and lap the water like a dog. Only 300 pick it up and drink it like a man. And God says, there's your army, 300. And with 300 people, Gideon, with the Lord's help, drives out the Midianites. And he wins in victory, right? So what do we learn from this guy's life? Because it's all over the map, right? I mean, it is all over. What do we learn? There's a couple of huge lessons, I think, that we need to get from this. And here's the first, guys. I want you to know that God often chooses to go to battle with unlikely people to accomplish his purpose. Okay? God often chooses to go to battle with unlikely people to accomplish his purpose, right? He says, Gideon, you're the guy. You're a valiant warrior. Again, Gideon is hiding at the moment, threshing this wheat and hiding. He says, you're a valiant warrior. That's who you're going to be. You're going to be my guy. You're going to be my deliverer. Gideon's like, no, God, you don't understand. I'm the weakest family in the tribe, and I'm the baby. I'm the youngest. And God says, I don't care. I'm going to be with you, Gideon. You're a valiant warrior. I'm going to use you to deliver my people. You are who I'm going to battle with. You're who I'm going to battle with. And this is God, guys. God chooses the most unexpected people to go to battle with. And that word is on purpose, that word battle, because listen, the children of God, because they didn't do what God told them to do, are constantly surrounded by the enemy. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? And so, because they're constantly surrounded by the enemy, they're always under attack, right? They're always under attack physically. They're always under attack spiritually. And listen, God says, Gideon, you're the guy. You're who I'm going to battle with, y'all. We are in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities of this dark world. And guess what? We, like Gideon, are the unexpected people God has chosen for this battle. He says, you are the light of the world. You are going to be the one that go and make disciples. You are going to be the people that bring them into the kingdom. And this is a message of extreme importance to us today because we are the most unlikely candidates, are we not? And like Gideon, we make the same excuses, but God, you don't know who I am. God, my family's jacked up. You don't know my history. I mean, my family's not like They're not people that you would look at and go, oh, look, yeah, that's what somebody like, no, but you are who I'm choosing. God chooses the most unlikely people to go to battle with. Who does God choose to go to battle with? Who does he choose to fight back the darkness, to tear down the strongholds, to set the captives free? He chooses us, the Gideons of the world. God often chooses to go to battle with unlikely people to accomplish his purpose. I mean, think about it. Abraham is too old, right? I mean, Moses is a murderer with a stutter. I don't even know how that, like, I know Aaron did some of the talking, but do you ever try to think about Moses? We like, I said, let my people go. Pharaoh, he's like, spit it out, Moses. Come on, right? It's real. And God says, no, you're my deliverer. You, Moses, you're going to be the guy, right? That speaks to my heart, because I don't know if y'all pick up on it, but I do it every Sunday. My brain works way faster than my mouth. And so a lot of times I watch something back on video, and I was like, I just went da-da-da-da-da. It's fine. God can use that. God chose David, the smallest of his brothers, just a shepherd boy. God chose Ruth, who was a widow. He chose Esther, who was an orphan. God chose Mary, that was a teenager. And he chose the disciples that were all called uneducated, ordinary men. That's who he chose to go to battle with. It was his choice. And listen, I know what you're thinking. You guys come to church, and the truth is, you wouldn't say that loud, because we clean up pretty good, right? Y'all notice I tucked in the shirt today. That's not, I wasn't trying to be fancy. It was just a little too long. I thought, well, man, that's almost down to my knees. I'm short. So this is all I got, okay? But we clean up pretty good, and we come in this place, and we look like we belong. But when we are at home by ourselves at night, when our head is on the pillow, we know there's no way God could use me. There's no way God wants to transform the world through me. You mean God wants to save a marriage through me? God wants to bring somebody to faith through me? We don't believe it. We don't believe. Be honest with yourselves. We don't believe it. And that's why Gideon's story is so important, because God says, believe it. You're a valiant warrior. You're my plan. You're the one. You're going to go. You're going to fight back darkness. You're going to bring life. You're going to break strongholds. I'm going to use you to accomplish my purpose, and I'm going to get the glory. And here's why. Second point in the sermon. Here's how. Because God meets us in our weakness and doubt to reveal his strength and faithfulness. God meets us in our weakness and doubt to reveal his strength and faithfulness. Listen, not only did Gideon feel unqualified and weak, I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody this morning, probably a few. Not only did Gideon feel unqualified and weak, those feelings caused him to doubt the purpose and the plan of God for his life. And preaching to anybody this morning, right? He felt weak. He felt unqualified. Those things caused him to doubt the purpose and the plan of God for his life. This is our story. This is why we're studying Gideon this morning, because we too often feel this way, and we let those feelings cause doubt. And so Gideon is like, God, I don't know. God's like, Gideon, you're my valiant warrior. God, I'm not so sure, man. My family's the weakest of the tribe. I'm just the baby. And God's like, nope, you're the one. You're going to fight back the darkness, Gideon. He's like, God, I'm not so sure. And God says, no, I'm going to battle with you. I'm going to go to battle with you. So Gideon doubts it, and he tests God twice, right, with the fleece. His feelings caused him to doubt. And some of you, this is your story. You've been living in seasons of doubt with God for ages. You come to church even on a regular basis, and you hear God's purpose for your life. You hear that God wants to use you, but you honestly, like Gideon, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to step on any toes, but I feel this way sometimes too. You kind of feel like you're just a piece of junk. And so you doubt whether or not God can use junk, don't you? I know I do. I know sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, God, how could you ever want to use me to change your world? How could you ever want to use me Because we're so familiar with our own stories, right? With our own failings, with our own trappings. We're so familiar with our own weakness, and that feeling that we have of shame causes us to doubt the power of God, yet God chooses to use weak things to do amazing things. He chooses the weak to defeat the strong. Over, this is the story of the Bible, guys, that God chooses the weak to shame the strong. This is who God is and what he does. He met Peter on the shore. Peter has failed miserably. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? Peter has failed miserably. And he says, Peter, I love you still. And I still have a plan for you. Go and feed my sheep. Hello? You follow me? Peter denied Jesus three times. Peter cursed his name. Maybe that is part of your backstory. And God says to Peter, I have a purpose for you. Go and feed. Guys, if that does not speak about our call as Christians, I don't know what does. That God has a purpose for us no matter what. He invites Thomas in for a closer look. Some of you are like, I don't know if God can really use me. Well, listen to the call of God this morning. You're a valiant warrior. And you're going, I don't think I am. And Jesus is saying, come here. Come closer. Take a look. Thomas, it's me. Touch the wounds. Touch, like, come on. He uses Paul. Paul, who persecuted his church, murdered countless Christians, and who, by the way, had a problem, right? So Paul had a physical issue. And God says, I don't care. You're going to be a light unto the Gentiles, Paul. This is God's story. God uses the weak to bring transformation to the world that thinks that they're strong, right? Just think about Jesus. You know, when we read Revelation 19, when Jesus comes his second time, in his second coming, yo, Jesus is coming back in power, all right? I don't know if you read the end of the story. It's pretty good, all right? Jesus coming back in power, it's not going to go well for the devil, okay? When Jesus comes back, he's riding in on a white angelic horse, right? And angels surround him, and the glory of the Lord will go before him. And listen, out of his mouth will come the flaming sword of the Spirit, and he is coming to do business, y'all. That's how Jesus comes the second time. How Jesus came the first time, he came in the flesh. He came born of a virgin. He was laid in a food trough for animals. He was wrapped in what many think were burial clothes that people traveled with in case they died on the trip. He came in humility and weakness. The answer to our sin problem, what it all points to, was born in the most fragile state, in the weakest state you could imagine. That's how God came. Why? Because God uses the weak to shame the strong. That's his plan, okay? So what I'm telling you this morning is if you, like Gideon, think about yourself, there's no way I can change the world, then maybe you haven't met our God yet, because that is what God does. Right? That is what God does. So here's our gospel connection this morning. I want you to know this morning that Jesus came in weakness to display God's power over sin and death. Jesus came in weakness to display God's power over sin and death. And get this, guys, now he fills weak vessels with his resurrection power in order to display that power and to advance his kingdom and drive back the darkness. This is God's plan, right? Jesus came in weakness to display God's power over sin and death, and now he chooses to fill weak vessels with his resurrection power to advance his kingdom and drive back the darkness. 2 Corinthians 13:4, Paul says this, for he was crucified in weakness, but he lives by the power of God. Okay? For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we live with him by God's power. That resurrection power is now in us. And who are we? We're just weak vessels, right? Paul again, 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. God said, let light shine out of darkness. He has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in jars of clay. so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. He's saying we carry around the power of the gospel in our broken nature. Isn't that good? In our weakness, the power of the gospel shines. This is God's. This is why I say to you, Gideon, I know what you think of yourself. I get it, but so does God. And God sees in you somebody that is destined to change the world. That's you. You are destined to change eternity. God wants to use you to bring others to the kingdom. Can you imagine that day? That one day when we get there and we show up there to be in the presence of our Father, and we are surrounded by a multitude of people whose lives we have impacted through faithful service because we believe in a God that could use broken people like us. No? Just me. Do you believe it? So let's talk some application. Okay? And here's the first thing. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to believe that God can and will use you. You have to believe it. All right? Y'all, come on. The hold of the devil, of the enemy, is so strong that we still hide out. You know it. We still do, right? Come on, how many of you fight the Holy Spirit in your daily life? Holy Spirit puts somebody on your mind. You're supposed to minister to them. You feel like this tugging, but you're like, nope, I can't do it. Come on, anybody ever been there? I can't do it. I can't, God. I'm not good enough. Anybody ever told God you're not good enough? Anybody ever told God you're not strong enough? Anybody ever told God you don't know enough? Lies. The enemy has his hand on you. The enemy has surrounded you, and you're hiding out. And here's the deal. God understands. Gideon was hiding out. He had excuses too, like you do, right? Come on, what are your excuses? Oh, but my past is too bad. Oh, but I just don't know enough, right? But I'm just not good enough. I'm not there yet. If I get a few more things in my life right, then I'll talk to other people about Jesus. What? You mean if you clean yourself up enough that those lost people around you don't want to have anything to do with you anymore, then you'll try to talk to them, right? If you can get hobnobby enough and you can be religious enough, they don't want religion. They need Jesus. They don't want religion. They need honesty. They don't want religion and perfection. They need to see your weakness and God's grace. This is why God chose us. You follow me? When Jesus came, did he come to the religious rulers? I mean, we're in church. Y'all can talk, by the way. You can say amen. You can talk in this church, all right? Did God come to the religious people? No, he shunned them, right? So is God calling you to be religious before you can have an eternal impact? No, he's calling you to let him be your strength. He says, Gideon, go in the strength that you have. And Gideon says, I don't have any strength. And God says, that's the point. I'm your strength. Church, listen, our world is never going to change unless we start walking out in our weakness. You follow me? Our world is never going to change unless we get over the hump of thinking we got to get it fixed before we can share. Our world is never going to change if we keep thinking that everything's got to be right before we can speak. Our world is never going to change unless we buy into the fact that God uses broken things like us, and that is indeed his plan. You follow me? Welcome to church. God has a plan for your life, and he is enough to pull it off, okay? You got to believe it. Come on, how many people would believe God could use them right now today? We got some work to do. It's better, okay. Listen, I'm gonna speak this over you. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. If you will go before God and say, God, I'm in. God has transformation for the people he's put in your life, 100%. If you'll do it, You'll actually go and you'll be his mouthpiece. You'll be his invitation. God's going to transform people in your life if you're in. Guys, this fall, I've been writing a little, I don't know, Bible study, book study, whatever, focused on the inviting heart of God. And in the fall, we're going to kick off the new school year with this series called Inviting God. And I'm going to ask you guys through that whole series to be all in. And I think God wants to transform our church like something we've never seen. But it is going to require you to believe God can use you as you are. So let's get started early, right? Let's get started early. Start believing that God can use you. Second thing, you got to trust in him, okay? I can tell you all day that God wants to use you. Little sidebar, you do have to be his first. All right. I mean, God can use anybody, but I'm just saying I'm writing a little devotion right now on the 23rd Psalm. Anybody remember the 23rd Psalm? It starts, "The Lord is my shepherd," right? "I shall not be in want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet waters. He restoreth my soul." That's the King James Version, right? It's a great psalm, short psalm. All the benefits listed in the 23rd Psalm, though, guess what? I do a lot of funerals. I read the 23rd Psalm at every funeral. You know where I don't read it? Is at a non-believer's funeral, because they do not apply to that person. Only applies to anyone who actually belongs to the Lord. It is, "The Lord is my shepherd." So when I say to you that God wants to use you to impact eternity, I mean it with all my heart. When I say to you that God wants you to be the light of the world, I mean it with all my heart. When I say that God wants you to shape eternity and bring people to the kingdom, I mean it with all my heart. But he cannot do any of that unless you have put your trust in him. All of the benefits of being a child of God are just that. They're benefits of being a child of God. Not being created by God, but Jesus actually being your shepherd. That means you've submitted your life to him and said, "Okay, I believe that you can use my brokenness and my weakness. Here I am. Use me," right? This is the gospel. So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to pray. We're just going to have a moment of prayer. I'm going to ask you where you are to bow your heads for a second, close your eyes. First, I want to pray for my Christians that are in the house. And man, a lot of you're not doing it. In fact, let's take a real quick survey. Nobody's looking around but me, just the pastor, so I know how much work I have to do, all right? All right, how many of you, be honest, you say, "I'm a Christian, I'm not doing much for the kingdom." Raise your hands. I'm not doing much. I'm kind of acting like I'm not having an impact. Be honest. Not having much of an impact. Okay, we got some work to do. Okay, you can put your hands down. I'm not judging you. But I want to talk to you first. Guys, you got to believe. You're the answer. How are they going to know if we don't tell them? How are they going to come if we don't invite them? How are they going to see if we don't talk about what God's doing in our lives? You guys follow me? God can use you. He wants to use you. You do not have to be perfect. So I'm just speaking this over you right now. Father, in your powerful name, I pray that you would break the chains of shame that have fallen upon my brothers and sisters. This lie from the enemy that they are too weak, that they don't know enough. You are a God that looks at us and you know who we can be in you. You called Gideon a valiant warrior, and I believe you say the same thing over every Christian that is willing to serve you today. You are my valiant warrior. I want to go to battle with you. Let me use your weakness. You said to Gideon, "Go in the strength that you have." Today, for every Christian that hasn't been going, today would they choose, "Enough is enough. I'm going to go in the strength that I have," which is no strength. "I'm going to go in my weakness to the people you put in my path. And God, I'm going to trust you to use it." Lord, do that in their life today. Now, I got to ask every Sunday. Every Sunday we have people that come in, and maybe you've experienced religion. Maybe you're one of those people that when I said, "Man, we feel like junk," that really is you. You have never given your life to Christ. You've never understood that the whole Bible is pointing to this Jesus. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You've never put your trust in him. But today you've heard something. You've heard a stirring in your heart. You can feel it. Like, "Man, I want that. I want to be used by God. I want to impact the kingdom. I want to impact this world and the people in my life." But the first step is I've got to know God personally. If you're here today and you'd like to know God personally, would you just raise your hand? Nobody's going to judge you. just raise it up real high. It's a big room. Hold it up for me to see. Anybody just says, yeah, man, that's me. Just want to do that today. Man, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Just keep that hand up for me. Okay. Okay. For those that raise their hand, just do me a favor. Make eye contact with me real quick. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you, brother. I see you. Appreciate you. Appreciate your honesty. Anybody else on this side of the room that I missed? Okay. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to pray right now. This is, how do we come to saving faith, right? We do it by putting our full trust in Jesus. And so the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. And so that confession, we just take that as an act of prayer. So we're going to pray today. Maybe you didn't even raise your hand, but you're feeling it in your heart. I want to be a child of God today. We're just going to pray this prayer. Pray it out loud with me. And this is going to serve as your personal confession, okay? Let's pray together. Dear God, come to you right now. I just ask you to come into my life and make me yours. God, I know my weakness. I know that I'm a sinner. And I have struggled with whether or not you could use me. But today I heard you can. So please, Jesus, come into my life. Take my sin from me. Make me yours. And use me, this broken vessel, to share your goodness with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And guys, if that's you, I just want to talk to you at the end of the service. Not going to embarrass you. I want to do this pre-announcements. Miss Erin's up here. We got a special Sunday. We're going to turn on some lights so people can see these folks. We've got some amazing seniors. Erin, you need a microphone, don't you? Yeah, you do. Erin loves being on the microphone. It's great. I know you do because I can hear you during the second service out here. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Could I get all my seniors that are going to be presented today, if you could go ahead and make your way up to the stage in any order you are going to be. Come join me up here so I'm not solo. You know who you are. I will stare at you until you stand up. That's right. Come on up here. All right. We have some amazing seniors that are, and as they're making their way up here, it's been really amazing to get to be a part of their lives. Y'all are doing such a good job. They found the light. Hey, y'all, clap for my seniors here. They're amazing.
Light on your face.
Yeah, you got to come to the light.
Enough.
Come to the light. There we go.
Woo.
All right. It's been pretty neat this year and, well, every year. But I've known some of these guys since I started helping with youth, which was when they were in the seventh grade. So a few of these guys I've known since the seventh grade or before that, which has just been neat to get to be a part of their journey. And something that's really amazing, that there's four students up here on the stage that have given their life to Christ this year, their senior year. Amen, right? Isn't that amazing? So I just wanted to give each of you a Bible. This here is Elise, and you get, see, the girls get teal Bibles because they're cute. Boys get black Bibles. They're not as cute, but they're really cool. This is Lily Hernandez. We have Mr. Huddleston, Caleb right here. Sabra Baker. Is it easier if I roll my cart or no? There we go. Michaela Wilson. I have enough. Not in Bailey. Here, wait, I can do more than one at a time. I should have had a helper person. I don't. That's okay.
I offered to
you
help.
Did
you
offer.
Said you were good.
This is not. This is Blake Thames. You don't get two. One's for Blake. All right. And then last but not least, Madison Wool. All right, y'all, let's give it up for my seniors real quick. There we go. And just a real quick word to my seniors. All right. So far in your life, most of your life has been dictated for you because that's what happens when you're born. Your parents get to make a lot of those decisions. And now it's such a neat opportunity for you because now all of a sudden you get to start making some of those life choices, that journey on your own. And it can feel overwhelming, right? And it feels like, what am I supposed to do next? And we don't know a lot of times, but you know who does know? God knows. And just like we heard today, if you've given your life to him, he has a plan for your life. You are equipped. You're ready to make an influence for the kingdom starting right now. You don't have to wait till you're an old person like me. You can do it right now. So I'm just so, so proud of them. And Pastor Jason, would you mind praying for our seniors today?
I would love it. I would love it. Guys, love you guys. Man, it's been so cool watching your journey, getting to be a little part of that. And so, guys, would y'all pray with us? If where you are, you can reach out a hand towards them and pray over them. That's awesome. We're just going to do that this morning. Father, we lift these, they're not kids anymore, right? A lot of them started as kids, but they are young men and women. And Lord, you have a special calling on the young. I believe it with all my heart. And it starts with children when you say, let the children come to me, and the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And we talk about faith like a child, but then, you know, we look at Timothy, who is a very young pastor who just rocked the spiritual world. These guys are going to campuses. They're going into workforces, and you're going to use them in powerful ways. And so, Father, my prayer right now over each of them, guard their heart and guard their mind, and, Lord, use them. Remind them that you are enough. Remind them that even when they feel like Gideon and they feel like hiding out and hiding their faith, that they are valiant warriors because you are enough for them. Use them wherever their feet are planted to bring other people to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.